Gather around your speakers, hoop heads. It's NBA story time. Jamel Johnson here to spin you tales of NBA shenanigans you didn't know you needed to know. Like that time when a little startup league tried anything to be relevant, or when Ricky Davis earned himself a dumb nickname. I also love you, Ricky Davis. Catch a new tale on NBA Storytime every week, then listen to the postgame where I break it down with comedians, ballers, and what have you. Find NBA Storytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Guys, what's up? I want to take a quick second to let you guys know that our podcast is supported by Anchor. That's right. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. I'm doing this ad from my phone as we speak. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. Evidently, I can't talk. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Now back to the show.
Washed Up Walk-Ons Nation, this is a jam-packed hour episode. We're closing down on the bowl game. We talk about juniors leaving. We talk about Hayden Fry. We talk about George Kittle. We talk about it all. This whole episode is awesome. Excited for you to listen to it. Happy holidays, everybody. Let's have an end of the year. Let's go. Welcome back, Washed Up Walk-Ons fans. Episode 75 of the podcast, and we're coming to you today, right near Christmas. So I want to start this episode off by wishing you guys a very Merry Christmas, and thank you guys all for tuning in to listen to us three idiots talk about sports and life, and crack jokes, and talk about humping brothers and siblings and stuff. And
they
didn't tune in to hear that.
No, don't.
Well, they tuned in anyways. So regardless if they tuned in to hear that, they tuned in, and we appreciate that very much. So from our hearts to yours, a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. We'll come to you before the new year, but this will be the last time you hear us before Christmas. So I just want to get that out there. This episode's going to be jam-packed. I think we're going to go over an hour today because we're only going to come at you one time this week. You know, shit happens. It's the holidays. So let's buckle up and let's get this thing started.
First of all, Kevin's back from New York. Let's start there. Kevin Ward.
What's up?
On the striker dime out in the big city. How was the East Coast? We saw some pizza review action. We saw no work happening. What was that like? What was going on there?
Well, I mean, I could have recorded the meeting that I went to, but I don't think the Instagram followers would have liked that very much. I mean, it would have been probably pretty boring for them. So, you know, I just threw them the parts that they'd find interesting. Did do a pizza review in honor of our old pizza reviews, Kluver. I found a spot better than the one we went to for the pinstripe pool.
Wow.
And it was pretty damn good pie. Got a 9.1.
I saw that. Speaking of pie, had one of, so just Lauren and I are ridiculous. We try and make every single gathering when it comes to Thanksgiving and Christmas. So first of four Christmases happened last night as of this recording, Saturday the 21st. That was with my dad's, or no, just my parents and then my mom's mom and her sister in Ankeny. And I got Lauren two Lou Malnati's deep dish peaches shipped from Chicago to Waukee. They're in our freezer right now, so we're pretty excited about those. They'll be on the menu here in the next couple weeks.
A tent just grew in my pants thinking about that.
Lou Malnati's, man.
New York City makes a pretty nice thin crust pizza, but Chicago deep dish trumps all.
It has my heart, and I'm excited to eat it. But it's that Christmas season, and first of all, I'm so happy right now. One, everyone's kind of on break right now, or working their way there. We're doing it's just that time of year where you start to reflect on your year and the holidays and everyone's happy and yada yada. And as we opened up the podcast and the music was rolling, I'm looking at you two and you guys are both wearing your helmets right now. Kevin's,
yes, that's correct.
Kevin's in his garage slash gym back in his parents' garage slash gym back in Illinois on the bike, currently working out. I mean, just multitasking. Said he was ready to run a couple boss plays with the helmet on.
Yeah, No. Me and Drake, we're gonna run a little power out just to reminisce on the good old CTE days.
I'll tell you what, I do feel pretty safe and secure in this helmet.
Honestly, dude, I put this back on. You know, the cheeks need to be filled up a little bit, but it fits, man. It fits. I'm ready to go. Kaya, yeah. Put me in, man.
Yeah, I feel the same way, dude. I feel fucking...
I knew this was going to draw out some fucking PTSD. So there it is. That's the intro to the pod. We are so happy to be here. I cannot believe that we do this podcast and that it's a thing. Like, it makes me so happy to get on here and just chill and talk. And that's what we're that's what we're going to do. We're going to open up. So, again, this is the 22nd Sunday that we're recording this. The first weekend, Friday, Saturday, bowl games went the last couple days. And Kevin, regardless of the fact that he was gone and we recorded both episodes from last week a week ago, we still put out some awards winners. They did not do as well as he would have hoped. Appalachian State won the game, but only by 14 points. It was a 16.5 point spread. And
yeah, well, I mean, when you start the game off 14-0,
it's tough,
you know, 5 minutes into the game. So you're already chasing, you know, you're down 31 essentially at the beginning of the game. Hard to make that comeback. They tried their best, but almost just couldn't quite get there.
I want to emphasize that Kevin said that one was his greedy stallion pick. That wasn't his love it.
Yeah.
That's true. That is true. My Lovitz were San Diego State and then Georgia Southern, who they dropped the ball versus Liberty. Liberty hadn't had any very good wins this year. They were they beat like New Mexico State twice. They lost to Rutgers by 10 points. So I was like, Georgia Southern, they run the ball pretty well. That was just kind of like my fuck it pick. And then
how do you lose to Rutgers?
State,
that's a great question.
I don't know. It's just tough to do. But Liberty managed to do it, but then they managed to beat Georgia Southern. So I don't know.
And San Diego State covered by plenty, but it didn't matter.
By plenty.
Yeah.
It does matter, but because I told you guys I'm off on the parlay train. We're going straight bets now.
Straight bets.
So winning week is 2 out of 3.
Yeah.
So Appalachian State almost made it a winning Saturday.
That's there. You go.
Do we got bets in on this fine football Sunday?
I'm not too much of an NFL guy.
I feel you. NFL's tough to pick. I'll tell you, did you guys watch the end of the San Francisco game last night, though?
I didn't. I was
sure
George
did.
Went fucking stupid at the end of the game. He has the clutchest gene of all time. Like, he's got the Kobe gene inside of his body because he just went nuts when it mattered.
George is – the man just
he fails to fail.
Well, it's just he's just out there playing football, man. Like, he's just out there living and having an amazing time. And
dude, he's just he like There ain't no one in the NFL that has more fun.
He just has fun. He's just out there. It's not a job. It's not a job to George.
There's a reason he's the people's tight end, because he's just so much fun to watch.
Can you smell what George is cooking?
And, like, see, the funny
thing about it is cooking a nice offseason contract.
A very nice offseason contract. The funny thing about it is, though, like, you can't act like that if you suck. You know, like, you can't. True. You can't act yourself and just be like, yeah, this is a game that I dominate you fools at if you're not that good. But this guy's the best in the entire world. People can't tackle him. They can't cover him. And like when he laughed in the grown man's face, we got to bring that up, because I've never seen something more like amazing and disrespectful at the same time. Like, the guy has a family, and George just buried him like a child.
George is the king, and he used to do it at Iowa too, just with, like, you know, back and forth word jabbing. Ever since that one guy said that he wasn't much of a blocker, I feel like George has only been he's impressive on another
level. He's been doing all year.
All year. But on another level, he's impressive as a tight end. What tight ends do. Catching balls, making mismatches in the second level, all this stuff. George is damn near a mismatch at the third level on a speed conversation.
Yeah. But, I mean, Buda Baker is a Pro Bowler for the Cardinals, and George put Buda Baker in a coffin.
And so I think George's most impressive thing that he does, and I've seen it multiple times in the last 2 weeks, they're leaving him in like a tackle to block DNs. And he's just pass setting.
Oh, yeah.
And making incredible. I mean, he's giving Garoppolo 4, 5, 6 seconds on the edge. It's fucking amazing what he does.
Well, I mean, he has to, because if he's not running a route, Garoppolo's going to need 6 seconds to find someone who's
open.
That's
true. Who do they even have? Goodwin? Marquise Goodwin? And
They have a talented group of receivers that just hasn't been really
producing. They picked up Emmanuel Sanders.
They're young.
In the middle of the year.
Yeah, they're young, and they have Sanders.
I thought Goodwin was out. He's hurt.
I think he is.
Marquise Goodwin's hurt, I believe, yeah. And I think Dante Pettis is hurt, and then Jalen Hurd is hurt. So
I heard a stat saying that George gets 30-something% of the targets.
That's wild.
Whenever they throw a ball, 30% of the time it's going to George.
That's insane.
He broke Mike Ditka's record for most receiving yards by a tight end in his first 3 years, and he still had 2 games left in the regular season.
Yeah, he's a cheat code. He's who you want on your fantasy team. He's who you want as a friend. And, Kevin's making it rain currently. George is going to see an insane tight end contract come his way this postseason.
You want to talk about setting records?
Yeah. It's got to be the biggest tight end contract in history, right?
It's going to be like 150% is what the people are predicting. Like, Jesus. They're saying that Ertz and Jimmy Graham and them guys, they're making like $9-10 million a year, Kelsey, but they think George might just put it through the roof.
Well, what's funny is that's what people forget.
The craziest thing is that he's making like league minimum.
Yeah, he's not making. In NFL terms, George isn't making shit for money right now. Like, he's on his rookie contract. He's a fifth rounder making his rookie contract. Like, he's a on paper, on the bank account, he's a fucking nobody.
He is the single most valuable player in the NFL because of what he's being paid.
Yeah. I would say by far and away, contract wise to production wise, George has the biggest ratio out there by far. I don't know if you could make another argument.
He has the biggest ratio in NFL history. There's nobody else getting paid basically league minimum out there producing at a first team all pro.
It would be similar.
Well, I mean, like Tom Brady was a sixth round pick and he was winning Super Bowls on his rookie contract still.
True.
I stand corrected.
George Kittle is doing Tom Brady.
Conversation
shit
with Tom Brady. You're doing okay.
Right. It's going to be fun to see that happen. And he just is having fun doing it. I mean, he's got.
And go Hawks, baby. How great does that look for the Hawks and tight end university, the University of Iowa?
I'll say this. And this is another thing. We're going to get into it in the offseason, maybe some of our episodes where we don't have guests on. A lot of people want to hear our thoughts about recruits. I'll say this. We don't necessarily off the top of our head know a whole lot about recruiting. We definitely paid little to zero attention when we were in the program because it's just not something you care about. Either that people are going to come there or they're not. And then when they get there, then that's your job to take them under your wing and make them an Iowa football player. But maybe we'll venture out. I guess we're in the media now where we have to know something about something, and we'll probably run out of content at some point and be forced to look up these recruits that we brought in. I know that the class we brought in was a whole lot more highly rated than the class than our class. So
yeah, but our class will still want a fist fight, so don't test me, motherfuckers.
I would agree with that. It would be hard to beat our class. Like Budgeta, you.
It would be damn near impossible to beat our class in a fist fight. We are some gritty, dirty, down and nasty motherfuckers.
Gaffey. You can't beat Gaffey. Anyway, let's move on. To a more somber, maybe sad, a more sad note. The legend, the man who, especially after seeing all the outreach and everything, the man who literally built Iowa, it seems, built the Iowa program for sure, but maybe the state of Iowa just in general, Hayden Fry, passed away last week in between podcast recordings for us at 90 years old. And I don't know if I've ever heard KF talk about somebody in such high regard other than maybe Joe Moore. I mean, those are his two guys.
Those are his guys.
That was literally what I was going to say.
I really don't know what to say. I wish I knew Coach Fry. He never came around the complex when we were in the program. He was battling a lot of health issues this last decade, I think. My dad used to talk about him all the time, man. My dad is not the best at telling stories. I tried to think of a way that we could get him on the podcast. First of all, he's probably not even awake right now, so he wasn't probably going to make it live. Talked a little bit last night with him about Hayden. And my dad's best story is not a fun one or something. It just kind of encapsulated Hayden as a guy, I think. First of all, he said that guys in the locker room used to do Hayden Fry impressions all the time.
Oh man.
And I was like,
I've heard a few.
It's just funny now that we do KF impressions and the guys back then would do Hayden impressions, which were even better because he's got like that Southern accent and stuff.
Yeah, dude. So I've gotten to know some of the guys from like the 80s and 90s a little bit. And you hear some of their stories and it's just funny. Shit really doesn't change, man. New guys come in, new guys go out. But, you know, year after year, it's the same old shit. We all get into a bunch of dumbass trouble. We all, you know, we hate camp. We go through, you know, all the same shit, practice and games and all that stuff. We all have pretty much the same stories. Shit really doesn't change. And those guys, they loved Coach Fry. They really did. Like you said, Kluber, we never had a chance to meet Coach Fry. But it kind of sticks out to me. It's like, even though we never met him, how big of an impact he had on our life. For what he took Iowa football to, and for KF to continue that, like
we really don't know.
Like you don't know. Like our life would be completely different.
Yeah,
I don't go to Iowa if KF's not the coach. KF isn't the coach there if Hayden Fry isn't the coach there. If, you know, Hayden Fry doesn't set the example of what Iowa football is supposed to be, you know, like you don't think about stuff, you know, like how much a man has an impact on your life until, you know, something like this happened.
Retroactively.
That, you know, for that, you just got to say thanks to Coach Fry and rest in peace to a legend. You know, the state of Iowa owes you a huge debt of gratitude.
So
retroactively, we could have been being taught a whole lot of Coach Fry's teachings through KF, you know? It's
well,
just
that's, yeah,
from one era to the next, and great coaching is great coaching. So I'm sure a whole lot of the lessons that we thought were just KF's wisdom might have actually come from Coach Fry. And yeah, Iowa lost a legend, but heroes get remembered. Legends never die.
I got asked a lot from clients at the gym and other people I know, just about if, you know, if I ever had came in contact with him, if I ever talked to him, met him and stuff. And I was like, no, I didn't. But every time that in a team meeting, something major program deep wise would come up on a process of how things were done at Iowa football, it was almost 100% of the time KF would bring up, you know, when Coach Fry came here in the 80s, he changed things around, he did this, he did that, he's the one who laid the foundation. It was just always came back to Coach Fry. And
yeah, absolutely, like 22 years later, like he's still so ingrained into the culture of Iowa football.
I feel hard for KF because I know, I mean, everyone saw the articles that were written and a few of the videos and the interview that KF did. Like, it's hard for him to talk about that because
he was one of his mentors. It's like, it'd almost be the same for us, you know, if we were to lose one of our coaches, right? Like, I don't even want to say it, you know, but like,
it's gonna happen,
but you know what I'm saying,
eventually,
right?
Yeah,
it's gonna happen. Yeah. Like,
no, exactly,
you can't fight time. Yeah and you know, like, when those days come, it's gonna be hard.
I mean, the man has literally a road named after him in the town, which Hayden Fry Way. My dad's best story was literally just a simple one. It was one night after practice, in the middle of the season, they were driving out by Coralville, out by kind of where the Marriott is, if you're going out that way, at one of the intersections. And they were just going home one night, and Coach Fry was going home as well. And Coach Fry pulled up next to my dad and his buddies at the stoplight, and he just looked over, and he's wearing his shades. Like, it's just vintage Coach Fry. He's wearing his shades. I think he was driving a truck. I think my dad said, I can't remember exactly. And he just looked over, rolled the window down, gave the boys a nod, like pulled the shades down and said, "You boys have a good night." And he just drove off. And it was just like I could feel it when my dad told the story. Man. So that's tough.
If I'll pull one up from one of the guys that I heard from. So a few guys on the it's like back in the 80s, you know, they beat Wisconsin up in Camp Randall, and they stop for dinner like halfway back, and there's a gas station like a couple blocks down from where they're eating dinner, and they have a bunch of managers like, "Hey, go get us some like cases of beers and, you know, bottles of liquor and stuff. We're gonna get hammered on the way back. We're gonna be drinking in the back of the bus." So they drive the next like 2.5 hours back home to Iowa City, and they're all sloshed. Okay, they're all sloshed. They're like stumbling off the bus, and Coach Fry goes, and this is apparently what he sounded like. I never heard him talk in person. "Man, I love my players so much they can hardly walk. They play so hard for me." And these guys are all stressed. Like, he knows, but he's just like fucking with them. So that's That's my one story that I'm going to tell from the guys that have told me about Hayden Fry.
That's pretty legendary.
RIP to a legend.
That's all that needs to be said. That's
all that needs to be said. All right, moving on. So let's go into the, man, this episode is just going to be so jam packed. Last episode that you guys heard from the Wash Up Walk-Ons was a Drake and Tyler show. Maybe
a Drake and Tyler butt show.
And we talked about a lot of questions from Twitter that you guys asked us. Kevin wasn't able to make it in on that, so I'm gonna bring up some of those questions again and bring up some of those topics. Kev, you probably listened to it. We talked about just kind of the feel of bowl prep, how it differs from in the middle of the season, what it's like when everybody leaves campus and it's just you, and how the team grows closer during that time. What are your thoughts? Kind of explain from your point of view to the people what that was like for you and what that felt like, your memories.
Yeah, sure. So you guys talked about it a little bit. Bowl prep is hugely dependent on A, how the team season went, and B, where you are in the program. So like a freshman's bowl prep is not even recognizable compared to like a fifth year senior bowl prep. So,
and hold on a second. Kevin's breathing hard because while we do this podcast, he's getting a fucking,
because he's a sick.
He's on the Peloton right now in the commercial. He's doing a bike workout.
This fucking guy acts like there aren't 24 hours.
First ride. He's
not on vacation.
Kind of nervous, but really excited. Did you guys see that dumbass commercial?
Yeah. Yeah, we did.
It was funny. Anyway. So bowl prep. Our freshman year, I wasn't in bowl prep. I had surgery on my shoulder, so I sat out, which honestly sucks almost as bad, because sitting around during those long ass practices is boring as hell, especially when you got to ride the bike too and you're in a sling. And like these are like the longest practices of the year too, so they're like longer than spring game practices,
which are long.
As a young guy, you're getting a lot of reps that you don't normally get because, you know, up until like a week and a half out, you're just practicing against Iowa. You're not even concerned about the opponent. You're just focused on getting better as a team. And so that second year, 2014, you guys talked about it. We had a shitty year. And KF, you know, pretty much had enough of us. You know, like we didn't play physical enough that year. We weren't mentally tough enough that year. And we lost a lot of games because of it. And so he was going to fix that in that bowl prep. So you guys talked about how we went through doubles.
He fixed the shit out of the problem immediately.
Yeah, that shit got addressed real fucking quick. And the bowl game didn't go well, but you know what? It made us better for the next year.
There may be stories of 14 bowl prep floating around in the complex still to the day, like haunting people just in case they think.
No, there's no one on that team that knows that bull prep. Right. They're all gone. Anyway. But yeah, then you look at like the next following season, you know, we're 12-1, we're in the Rose Bowl. We didn't do doubles, but you know, practice is still hard for the young guys because, you know, they're not playing, but they got to get ready. They got to get better for the next season and everything. But you know, it was a lot better feeling around the complex knowing that we're going to Los Angeles to play in the Rose Bowl versus, you know, we're going to Jacksonville to get our asses whooped up on by Tennessee.
Word.
So, yeah, regardless of how the season is, as a young guy, you're probably going to get your ass beaten in a little bit. You're going to take a ton of extra reps. But then once you're an old guy, man, you don't do a whole lot. My junior year, I took – a decent amount of reps because we didn't want Ben taking too many reps. He was kind of banged up all that year. But my senior year before the Pinstripe Bowl, I joked with Coach Wallace. I'm like, fuck, dude, you already got me on par for retirement. So we would stretch. We'd go through tackling circuit. We'd go through individual. I would take two reps of blocks, two reps of 9-on-7, and then maybe – 5 reps of team the entire day.
That's incredible.
Like I was doing, yeah. Like I, well, think about it. One, you know, I'm a fifth year senior. I got one game left. Do I really need the reps? No. Two, we had 4 linebackers graduating that year, and we need the young guys to get the reps for next year because they need to get better. So, as the coaches really just got to think about who needs these reps most, who needs to get better. It's not the fifth year senior. We know he's going to be on his shit for the bowl game. We know he knows what to do. Does he really need his reps? Probably not.
Barring that he gets knocked out.
He's also beat this.
Yeah, if one of the guys gets knocked out and forgets the game plan, that puts a little bit of a damper on things.
True. But it's like, does he really need these reps? He's probably already beat the shit. You know, by the end of our fifth year, I was limping out to every practice because my ankles are just about done.
I was limping around as well.
Oh yeah, because you don't even have an ankle, do you?
Hey, it's yeah.
Anyway, yeah. So yeah, bowl prep's really dependent on where you're at in the program, how your team did during the year, and yeah, and I mean that's pretty much what it is.
How many buy-ins above Kara hours do you think we were that year?
Buy-ins above Kara hours. How many?
We don't have Kara hours when you're not in school.
Oh, that's
it's
true.
Like preseason camp. There is no Kara hours. They fucking own us.
Well, how many buy-ins do you think we gained over our 5 years?
We were a couple standard deviations.
We're gonna plead the fifth against self-incrimination there, boys.
That's fair. That's I'm just talking poker buy-ins.
Kevin just went dark mode. The biggest thing about bowl prep is it's just like the amount of growth, personal and team, that happens in such a short amount of time just because of the concentrated work that you do and the amount of time that you have together. It's pretty incredible. People make KF, that's something KF would talk about all the time as well, is you want to make big jumps. All right, here's your big jump opportunities. You're going to get 2 to 3 weeks in camp.
Yeah, well, I mean,
you're going to get 2 weeks of bowl prep, and you're going to get 8 weeks of, or four or five weeks of spring ball. You've got those 10 weeks throughout the year. That's where all the money's made as far as actual on the field stuff. Otherwise,
right? Yeah, you know, you can think of it this way: in bowl prep, you're fighting for reps in spring practice. In spring practice, you're fighting for reps in fall camp. Fall camp, you're fighting for your starting spot. Yep. That's pretty much the way it is. So it's a big time for guys who aren't starting. And even for those guys who are starting, you know, maybe have a young guy coming up on their heels or are just, you know, still competing for a spot. They're not Josie Jewell.
Hey, guys. Yep, it's me again. Got to interrupt the episode real quick to talk to you guys about Spotify. One of the sponsors of this podcast. On Spotify, you can listen to all your favorite artists and podcasts in one place for free. You don't even need a premium account. Spotify has a huge catalog of podcasts on every topic, including the one you're listening to right now. Yeah, we're on Spotify. I don't know how we did that, but pretty cool. Other things you can do on Spotify is follow your favorite podcast so you never miss an episode. Premium users can download episodes to listen to offline wherever you are, and you can easily share what you're listening to with your friends on Instagram. If you haven't done so already, be sure to download the Spotify app. Search for Washed Up Walk-Ons on Spotify or browse podcasts in the Your Library tab. Also, make sure to follow us so that you never miss an episode of the Washed Up Walk-Ons.
They don't have their spot cemented in stone.
Josie,
yeah, it's a really important time.
Josie probably could have killed somebody, walked into the complex the next day, told KF, hey, last night I murdered two people and left them in the Iowa River, and KF would have been like, all right, so what do you think about practice today? Do you think we should run, how long do you think individuals should be on? That's what happens when you get the old consensus All-American tag, which, by the way, our boy KD3, consensus All-American. Pretty bullshit that Tristan Wirfs didn't get the nod for that.
Pretty absurd, just... Yeah.
And we're going to talk about some juniors, Tristan being one of them, potentially leaving for the NFL in a second. I'm going to finish off with this. Kevin, what was your personal favorite bowl memory from 5 years of bowl games?
Personal favorite, man. I don't remember much from the New York trip, so that's out. Jacksonville sucked. Honestly, I really liked the Beef Bowl. Beef Bowl, we had fun, man. We didn't win the game, but we beat the shit out of Stanford in the Beef Bowl. I think we ate like 50 more pounds of beef and like twice as much cream corn.
Dude, that shit was so good.
A lot of cream corn, man.
No wonder we were slower, dude. We had 50 extra pounds of beef and cream corn in our gut.
And ice cream
God
dessert.
Damn it.
Do you remember the guy who emceed that event?
Yeah, he was
a total crackhead dickhead.
He was a local weatherman.
He was all coked out. yeah, he's like a local weatherman, NCN, and he's like announcing like all this stuff. He's like, this might be my absolute favorite thing from that trip. He's getting ready to call KF up the stage, and he's like, and the head coach of the Iowa Hawkeyes, Coach. Oh boy, Coach Kirk Ferentz.
He just could not, like, Ferentz was just too much for him.
Yeah,
and KF gets up there. He's like, "Thanks, it's Ferentz. You know, rhymes with Terrence or Clarence. But yeah, thanks. We're happy to be here." And I'll never forget. 3 weeks later, we're like eating lunch at the complex. It's like one of our the first week back after the game, and you know, KF's like, what was you guys' favorite part of the trip? What was your least favorite part? Pretty obvious, right? That fucking asshole at the beach.
I remember it. Dude, I'm howling. Oh my god, that's classic.
Oh my god.
Well, dude, because like, know what? I do that was an absolutely unbelievable moment, because the MC couldn't have shit his pants worse. Like, he couldn't have known less or cared less or been more coked out. So,
oh yeah, and he's just like throwing out like terrible jokes and everything.
Dude, like, he shit his pants the whole night. And man, that was a pretty fun thing to make fun of. Her. Yeah, that was awesome.
That was pretty funny.
That fucking asshole at the beef for. Yeah, so I think
I can't, yeah, man.
Beef falls definitely, and they were old was fun. You know, I will say, going to the World Trade Center in New York, that was really cool.
Awesome.
So those would be some of my things.
Tourist attractions in Manhattan, New York are insane, dude. Like, Manhattan would be one of the worst places to actually live, but I'm still thinking about doing it for like a little couple year span just for the shits and giggles, because there is so much insane shit to do and see in New York City.
Not only did we get to visit the World Trade Center, go to the top floor, the 360 look around over New York, we got to do it before the thing opened. And so we had that entire top floor to ourselves. Like, it was only Iowa football up at the top of the building. And we got the
viewing center. Yeah.
So, boys, I don't do well with motion sickness, like virtual reality, that shit, or like IMAXs is a huge no-go for me. And when we rode that 130 stories or whatever that was, and the whole board was changing with the scene of New York, yeah, as you went up, I like was about to throw up on I was standing next to Ike, and I had to like really hold back throwing up on Ike's shoes. Wow. It was bad.
He would have been pissed about that one. Man, God, that beefful story is incredible. We know we know what we're clipping for this one for the video.
I honestly thought it was going to be me and Kevin in our football helmets, but
it got topped, and we got plenty of time to get some helmet clips going as well. All right, let's move on. Let's talk. We brought it up quickly, but we'll bring it up on a full level now. There are some juniors that we have that are pretty good at football. Right.
Some amazing football players.
And
except for, I'm not seeing McShay, who, I mean, it's whatever. He's just another one of those media guys that gets paid to do shit that he couldn't actually, or talk about shit that he couldn't actually do. But he didn't have Tristan or AJ ranked very high.
Where were they?
Very bottom of the first round.
Okay. I saw one that had Tristan at 7 and AJ at 22. You never know. I mean, these teams.
Of course you don't. It's what team falls in love with who. Daniel Jones went like number 6.
And there's still a lot to be said left. You know, they have the combine. They have.
Which, when they see Tristan at the combine, holy shit! People's jaws are just going to drop, because he's a total freak show. Yeah,
the man can handle some weight, and just any athletic achievement is all about. I don't know what Kevin's doing.
Kevin's got a poker table going up.
He's setting up a goddamn poker game right now.
He actually might be. He's in Chicago, and Kevin has some of the biggest degenerates for best friends ever. Like, his best friends from Chicago would mix in very well with some of my friends from Iowa, because none of them can fucking behave for 1 minute, always doing degenerate, just bad shit. And these guys play a home game now that is, it's pretty fun to be a part of.
Yeah. Boys are coming over in a couple of hours. We're going to play a little bit of cards.
There you go.
What did I tell you? What did I tell you?
There you go. So,
yeah. We started playing cards probably our sophomore year of college, and that was kind of our, you know, our way of hanging out. It's like, hey, who wants to play cards? And
home game.
Get a bunch of guys. Yep. So, 10 years later, same guys doing the same shit, man.
So the night before, so Kevin and I went to Vegas after we graduated. You know, after that May semester, we tried to invite you. You wouldn't go, but me and Kevin went. And that was before our senior football year, but after we actually graduated our classes.
Oh, I haven't graduated yet.
Oh, okay. I graduated. I was smarter than Kevin. But that changed. I don't know what happened, but I'm not smarter than him anymore. Anyways, before we went to Vegas, we stayed the night at Kevin's parents' place because we were flying out of Midway or O'Hare or wherever. And we went over to, was it Yonk's house?
Brian Jenner's house.
Okay, well, we went to another one of his buddies' house, and five or six of us sat around the table and played one of the most degenerate games of poker ever. All chips were the same denomination, but they were all colored differently. There was more poker games than I've ever heard of that were being played. And I don't know, man, it was a pretty rowdy time. So I feel like the war degenerate a home game pre-Christmas is going to be pretty filthy.
It might be, you know. What are you gonna do? We're old. We have incomes now, so
yeah. I don't even. I'm not even a part of it. I don't want to be a part of it.
I wish I was there, Kev. I really do.
So somehow we got onto degeneracy in poker from our juniors.
I crushed last night, by the way. But onto the juniors.
Speaking of guys who are gonna have some incomes pretty soon, according to the reports I saw and what KF said, three of our juniors put in papers for the NFL advisory committee. That would be the two obvious ones, Tristan Wirfs and AJ Epinesa, and then the third one being Geno Stone, which Kevin's now outside. What are you doing?
Yonker's here, and he's just sitting in his car.
Jesus.
Kind of weird.
Yonks.
And so
I'm not surprised to see Gino. He's a really good player, and I think he's just looking for advice, and I think he's just trying to gather all the information so he can make the best decision.
I think so, too. I think hard to speak for him, and I won't do it, but from what I see, he's a guy very similar to he's like Imani, plays hard, plays smart. He's just a good, natural football player, and
his instincts are off the chain.
Instincts are crazy. He'll be an NFL safety. I don't know if he's going to get – I don't believe he'll get a grade that will make him leave. I think he'll come back. I think he's got a chance to be Tatum Woodson D-back of the year in the Big Ten next year.
I do, too. I do, too. I don't think he's in a hurry necessarily.
I don't think
I really do think he's just trying to gather all the information that he
can. Gino always had a great head on his shoulders, it seemed like.
Yeah.
And I think he'll be back next year. In my opinion, there's absolutely no chance in hell that we see AJ Epinesa or Tristan Wirfs in a Hawkeye uniform after Friday versus USC. They're just too good.
They're too good,
there's,
man.
There's nothing more for them to do. AJ Epinesa is the D lineman of the year if it wasn't for Chase Young in the Big Ten. Chase Young is going to be a top three pick.
Even though Chase Young's talking about coming back, he said he has no intentions of leaving, is his claims.
Which, honestly, is probably a poor financial decision.
Yeah.
So, in my opinion, it's third year or better, or third round or better, that's when you think about leaving. Anything, you know, if you're a fourth rounder later, I'd probably come back. Dude, if you're a first round graded guy, especially if you're a top 10 graded guy, there, I mean, you have to really love your team to come back.
You life. Would absolutely.
That's yeah.
It would be
like you can say like, oh, I want to go get my degree, but hey, dude, you sign a first round contract, you can go get like 10 degrees with that money,
dude.
Like,
it's
so yeah. AJ, and Tristan, I imagine that they leave, and I think that's the best thing for them. I would love to see them another year in the Hawkeye uniform, obviously, but you know, you can't deny a kid of his dreams of playing in the NFL. Gino, I think played well enough to get a good draft grade, but I still think like he can develop further with another year under Coach Parker. So we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see what he decides.
Absolutely. And I think
another year of beating the shit out of kids in the Big Ten just makes you look better.
Yeah. I really do think he's got potential for that D-back of the year in the Big Ten.
Absolutely.
Did it surprise you that Chauncey and Alaric did not put in papers?
No, not at all.
I mean,
not even just to see.
Chauncey not so much. AJ surprised me not even just to see, but I think both of them should be back for the next year.
100%.
Yeah. I think these guys, like we did, they really love playing for the Hawks. And like, you have to have absolute guaranteed life-changing money to leave to me.
Yeah. I agree.
You know, it's really Desmond didn't do it. Like it's really tough to leave that program, dude. I loved playing for the Hawks, and like, I think
yeah, like, you know, Brandon Sheriff, he was projected first round pick after his junior year. He's like projected in the late 20s, something like that. You know, he just came back, like he said, you know, I felt like I could get better, and I was having fun playing right here at Iowa, and it worked out for him. Got moved up to a fifth round pick. He's been a Pro Bowler like three of his first 5 years. So sometimes, you know, coming back, it pays off. If you leave early and like say you drop way late or you don't even get drafted at all, cause every year there's more and more juniors coming out. There's only so many draft spots. That can be a mistake too. So it's a tough decision. Something you got to make with your family. You got to probably talk with your coaches about it. And, you know, obviously, you know, get a unbiased opinion from whoever grades those, you know, gives out those draft grades.
And obviously us three know nothing about that, because you could probably draft all three of us to play one position and a team still wouldn't take us. you could draft all three of us to play one tackle spot. You could throw all the walk-ons out at left tackle, and we'd be fucked.
We still aren't stopping Aaron Donald.
We have no chance.
No.
And
no
but chance. Kevin said fifth round pick when he was talking about Sheriff. He obviously knows that he was fifth overall. He just misspoke.
What was I about to say? For Tristan, the thing about Tristan, I think over anybody else, where he benefits no matter what, whether he comes out early or as a senior, is that when he goes to the combine, nothing else is going to matter.
Right.
Like people are going to see him. They're going to shake his hand. They're just going to realize that he is just like one of the most naturally gargantuan, freakishly strong human beings they've ever met. And then his film matches up with it, and they're like, okay, this is just a no-brainer.
Yeah.
I just don't think once NFL personnel just get up close and personal with him, it isn't a slam dunk.
I agree. All right. So we've talked about all that. Let's get into some Iowa versus USC, which, to be honest, I don't really know a lot about. I'm not a media guy, so I don't.
Well, I watch a good bit of USC because my roommate is a big USC fan, so I'm pretty pumped about this matchup, actually. USC hates their coach. They keep letting him coach one more year, but the whole fan base does not like him. So we've got a huge head up in the coaching category. We have a legend. They have a dude that they're trying to get fired. They have probably a little bit of advantage in the raw talent category, because if you look down their roster, they have some serious freakos. But they don't really play up to their standard or up to their potential, because they're an 8-4 football team playing in the Pac-12, which just is not that impressive, right? So their resume speaks for itself. They have a coach that they don't really love. Who knows how the players truly feel about them? I guess in the media, you're always going to say, yeah, we stand by our coach. You're not going to trash your coach in the media, I don't think. But the fans certainly don't want him there. The AD has been fired because of this coach. Or, I mean, he might have just stepped down because of it, whatever. They're just not in a great situation. So it's Hawks by a million, boys.
You got anything on that, Kev?
I mean, Drake, you know, surprisingly said some things pretty well. They do have a bunch of talent. Obviously, it's USC. They're always going to be a talented team. They're always going to recruit well because, you know, it's just a name brand school that gets.
But they play soft as hell.
I mean, they've had a couple. Like, they did beat Utah. They did beat a very good Utah team. They have a couple of really talented wide receivers that are going to test us on the perimeter there. You know, in my opinion, it's the same keys of the game that it always is. Iowa, if we can run the ball, which has been troublesome all year, control the time of possession and not give up big plays, win the turnover battle. It never changes. It doesn't matter who you're playing. It doesn't matter if it's USC or Rutgers. If you do those things, you're going to win
football
games.
All right,
you
can put us up against the fucking Patriots, okay? All right. If we're playing the goddamn Belichick.
If we win time of possession, if we win turnovers versus the Patriots, I promise you we win that game.
Okay. I don't give a fuck what Tom Brady does. If we play our game, we're going to win the football game.
Anyway. I think Drake's right. I think we're the more motivated team going into this game. I feel like we're going to have a more, you know, business-like approach to the bowl trip than they are. So I got to imagine that the Hawks fare pretty well in this one. You best know I'm making my bet on Iowa -1.5 in this one.
Hammer time.
I don't think it'll be a blow-up by any means. You know, USC's talent will keep them in the game. But I do have the Hawks winning this one and covering, of course.
Of course. For me, I like three things here. I like the fact that all the stuff Drake said about USC being, I mean, the motivation and all that goes into wanting to play this game and it actually meaning something for the guys that are playing. It's 10-0 Iowa there. 10 out of 10 yep. For Iowa. Nothing on the USC side, it would seem like. I love that Nate Stanley is 2-0 in bowl games. And that he knows how to win and he knows how to perform in a big time moment. He's done it against Ohio State back when we played. He's done it other times last year in the bowl game. And I also love that and this matters, a program knows how to win a bowl game. Over the past 2 years, they figured it out. We won that Pinstripe Bowl, they won the Outback Bowl last year. I think you got a lot of hungry, motivated guys at Iowa. The other thing I love about this is when I was healthy, we're good, and a bowl prep period gives Iowa time for even guys you didn't know were banged up. It gives them time to rest and get healthy. So I love the Hawks here.
All right, you know, and we're looking for that signature 10th win. So that's a big thing for us. I think the Hawks really want to win this game. You know, we got guys who could sit out this game who have, you know, kind of scoffed at the question of sitting out this game. It's a team that wants to win this game, and sometimes that's the biggest thing you can have in the bowl game. You know, some teams, you know, they're just happy to be at the bowl game, get the gifts and all that stuff. And, you know,
we got 105 guys that are ready to eat faces now. I can promise you that.
Yeah. They just left. They got there yesterday. Starting to see all the Snapchats, they're staying.
Bowl travel day is so phenomenal, oh, dude. Amazing. What a day.
Yeah, the bowl travel day is awesome. Showing up, you get on Yonker.
Yonks! What's going on, legend?
Hey, what do you have to say to the Wash Up Walk-Ons Nation here?
Love hearing it. Keep it going.
Wow, that's not the cameo we were looking for. I wanted to hear something like just...
are the Pack clinching this weekend?
Absolutely. I love them tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
What's your biggest bet of the year in this bowl season? Who are you looking to come through?
I love LSU winning it all.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Easy money. Anyway, what I was saying was seeing all the Snapchats from the guys, The five, they went out last night. A bunch of them went to Five Guys, got some burgers. So, I mean, the Hawks are going to be running on Five Guys fuel. Or not Five Guys. I meant In-N-Out fuel.
No. They got to get some Five Guys in their lives, man.
Well, I mean, probably someone went there too. But it's just so amazing to go and land, and then you're on the beach and the hotel and everything's set up. And, man, I just miss that stuff so much.
So much. I can't even describe it.
As we wrap this podcast up, you know,
I thought we were doing questions, man. I thought we were going to have some laughs.
More questions? Well, okay. I can give you a few.
You said you were holding questions till Kevin got here.
I did. Then we went back over the stuff that we talked about the other day.
I don't know, man. I'm having fun.
I got a couple.
Give me the most ridiculous question that we got.
Oh, boy. Well, we got a couple. I thought we got a funny one. And in the holiday spirit, you know, you get together with family or significant others and all that. We did get a question that said, do Drake and Kevin worry about being alone because they didn't lock a girl down while they were at their peak?
That's a tremendous question.
That's funny. Who sent that?
That was sent in by Drew Hunt. Said, do Drake and Kevin worry about being alone because they didn't lock a girl down while they were at their peak? Hashtag ask washed up walk-ons.
Kevin, go ahead. That's a tremendous question.
That is a tremendous question. You know, the real question is, have I peaked? The answer is
yes. And we'll tell you. 2015, December 4th or whatever it was.
December 5th, 2015 at approximately, I think it was probably around 9 p.m. at that point. Anyway.
What's the real answer?
Do I worry about it? Do I worry about it? Absolutely not. No. Drake, if you had any dating advice for someone in college, what would you give them?
Oh dear.
Don't fuck with gymnasts.
All righty. Well, this just took a turn. I got another question, maybe directed at you, Kev. What plan did the White Walkers and the Army of the Dead have to get over the wall before they got the dragon? Spoiler alert, by the way. Were they just going to climb over? What's your favorite moment in Game of Thrones?
That's a very valid question, one that I've asked myself sometimes. What was the plan before they got the dragon? I don't know. Did they have enough to just, like, make a, you know, big-ass, you
World,
know, pile?
World War Z wall?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I don't know. Favorite moment, I think...
I know what you're going to say.
Ooh, I think you do.
Yeah, say it, and then I'll tell you if I was right or wrong.
I think it's the end of season 6 when Jon is crowned king of the North. Okay. I think that was my favorite.
I was wrong then.
What were you going to say?
You're going to say Battle of the Bastards.
Good one, but close. One episode off.
yeah, it was close.
They had a great scene called the Red Wedding that I liked quite a bit.
Wild scene.
No,
that's my thoughts on marriage right there, summed up in one scene.
Probably the most ridiculous question we got, because I did say ask us anything, and I, you know, I don't want to take it here, but you did ask for the most.
Take it here.
This question comes from.
Listen, man, we're trying to broaden our content, man. Well, we could get people laughing here.
Yeah, you're asking for it with this one. This one says, I'm just going to go straight to the gutter. Stories about shitting your pants in public are always fun. Hashtag don't block me.
I know Drake has, Drake, you already told this one.
I did. I recently pooped my pants. I just can't remember it.
Happy holidays, Washed Up Walk-ons Nation. Unbelievable.
What?
Yeah, I mean, what the story that you're talking about, it was pretty recent that I pooped my pants on that, but I just can't remember the actual story.
Wow.
I trusted a fart, of course, because that's where every bad poop your pants story starts, is that you're like, man, I really think I just have to fart, and then all of a sudden you have hot lava between your butt cheeks.
I can't, dude. I can't.
It was such a good podcast, and Jesus.
All right. It is the holiday season. You guys are going to hear at least the first. I don't know what we're going to do with this. I think probably release it the whole thing, but you.
Yeah, just release it, man. These people got to get this all in one dose.
You guys are going to hear this on 2 days before Christmas. You will not hear our voices again until after Christmas. Let's see. It's going to be the 30th next week, and I'm not sure what we're going to have for content there. It'll be right around, you know, it's New Year's and all that. So is there anything you two want to say about the year in review of the Wash Up Walk-Ons? Another year gone in your life. Any top life moments from 2019 that you want to talk about? Reflect on. I know that my big time moments were getting married this year and going to Hawaii for the honeymoon and all that. That was fantastic. Anything you guys want to say before we leave?
I'm definitely just going to highlight the two Benton boys getting married, getting hitched up, a couple of cool bachelor parties, some awesome weddings. We got a matter of time before we have another one. Only a matter of time.
Oh, yeah. We're close. We're close. We got to be close.
We're probably pretty close.
I will not detail all of the stupid things I did in 2019, but I will just say that I'm going to try and get stupider in 2020 and have more fun stories to tell.
There you go. As always, rate and review us on the apps. It helps us grow, helps us get out there. Follow our Facebook page. We post our little clips that we've been doing on there. I know that you guys love the Miguel clip of him pissing his pants before kicking the field goal. The stories, we're going to continue to post those. We're going to continue to try and grow as a podcast. We're doing our best, and we're having a lot of fun doing it. Happy holidays to everyone who's listening from the Washed Up Walk-Ons. We love you guys, and we continue to do this because it's fun, and you guys continue to respond well to it. So, as always, Hawks by a million. We'll have some awards winners out later on this week for some more bowl action. And that's it. That's it from the Bowl Cat. Wash Up Walk-Ons out.
Peace.
I'm MJ Acosta-Ruiz.
And I'm Lindsay Zarniak.
And together we'll be hosting the On Her Turf podcast. This summer, On Her Turf is hosting a daily Olympics podcast
that focuses exclusively on women's sports and the amazing women competing in Tokyo.
We'll bring you interviews with Olympians and in-depth analysis on your favorite teams.
Plus, we're going to talk about some of the challenges still facing women's sports today.
So join us daily at On Her Turf as we cover all the excitement of the Tokyo Olympics.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts and be sure to follow On Her Turf on Twitter and Instagram too.